It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Opera. The very Italian of art forms where the pitch, tone, and tenor rise and fall with the vicissitudes of its protagonist, rendered in unforgettable voices. Italian football, unsurprisingly, often takes an operatic tone. The drama on and off the field dovetail in the form of scandals and controversies. The fans have learned to live with them. The unfolding soap opera that they fondly call Calcio, or football. But even by Italian scandal standards, Calciopoli, the match-fixing scandal uncovered in 2006, remains unparalleled. It would claim as victim one of the most storied clubs in world football, the old lady of Turin, Juventus. But this is not a story of what happened in the scandal. This is a story of players and fans alike dealing with extraordinary circumstances that they themselves had very little to directly do with. This is a story of how a club and its fans took a trip through the purgatory and back. Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense Stories, where we examine the stories that made football. In our season 2 opener, the scandal that sent Juventus to Serie B.
Where do we start?
So you were a Juventus fan back then.
I was a Juventus fan back then, and you hear, at least speaking from a fan's perspective, right? You hear about all these controversies, you know, coming up now and then, but then you never really think about, you know, the consequences of it, and you never really feel the seriousness of a consequence, because you know a lot of times, you know, you just feel it's all media hype, but then this was so much different.
Ben Naresh on Soccer Sense, and our resident Juventus fan, is the one who is going to provide us the perspective of how it was following the team during the tumultuous time.
It was just a few weeks before that the Italian national team had won the World Cup, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it was during the World Cup that the announcement was made that Juventus, along with a couple of other teams who were also involved, where
Fiorentina, Lazio,
and AC Milan as well, were going to be, you know, severely reprimanded for their involvement in the Calciopoli scandal. Just to get out of the way, we will not be discussing on the legitimacy of the investigation, more about the consequences. We can keep that for another day, because we'll have a lot to talk about if that happened to come up, if we happen to open up a can of worms there. But having said that, I think it just felt like a complete soap opera at that point of time. I mean, here you have the Italian national team absolutely putting in such a professional performance in Germany for a period of those 3 to 4 weeks, and day in day out, the kind of news that was coming out of Italy, especially towards the latter stages, was almost shocking, because it kind of reached a point where the thing that worked in AC Milan, Lazio, and Fiorentina's favor is that the judges had Juventus to throw the book at. Ultimately, let's not mince words, that's exactly what happened. And I still remember during the World Cup, I think it was prior to the quarterfinals, against the Ukraine, where Fabio Cannavaro was actually, who was a Juventus player at that point of time, he was in a press interview, and he suddenly, you know, a certain staff member actually goes up to him, starts whispering something into his ear, and basically what had happened was that one of the ex-Juventus players, Gianluca Pozzotto, who was actually one of the board members at one point of time, or a support staff at Juventus, had apparently jumped out of the third floor window in an attempt to commit suicide, or there was still a lot of rumors going around, and it was pretty much like, you know, completely like watching a soap opera at that point of time. and a really bad one.
This was not an ordinary relegation journey because, you know, clubs have been relegated, they have been promoted back up again. Has happened to AC Milan, if you want to talk about big clubs in Italy. Has happened to big clubs in England, elsewhere in Europe. But here you suddenly find yourself in the nothingness that is the Serie B. Because, let's face it, there's a huge gap between what the Serie A is like and what the Serie B is like.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at it this way, right? We have players like Alessandro Del Piero, Pavel Nedved, David Trezeguet, Mario Camoranesi, Gigi Buffon, playing in Serie B. I mean, that just says it all, right?
Ticket sales must have shot through the roof.
Oh, well, I really don't know how much money the Serie B clubs made, but I'm pretty fairly certain not a single stadium was above a capacity of maybe 25,000, maybe one or two at the most. But having said that, you're suddenly finding world-class players who've just won the World Cup playing in a lower division. Of course, to this day, as a Juventus fan, and every Juventus fan will admit that they will eternally be grateful for the famous five, like they refer to them as.
Let's begin at the beginning. Juventus' first game against this tiny coastal city club of
Rennini, exactly. If it wasn't for the research that we put in prior to this interview, I would have probably thought it was kind of pasta.
So they went to this pasta named stadium, and the whole thing was that they physically felt deluded, because this is not just about the emotional shock that
absolutely
you are playing in a smaller stadium, you are playing in a smaller ground, and it's not the romantic version of the FA Cup away tie in the third round.
This is the real deal. This is your current and immediate future, and that is what it was. And let's not pretend like it didn't affect the club financially. It was an absolute hammer blow financially, because it was just a year before that they had laid plans to actually build the new stadium, and this would have come as an absolute shock for them. And one of the articles that I read, it actually said that prior to that game against Rennini, a couple of the players, Buffon and Del Piero, they walked into the dressing room and told the guys that, you know, at the end of the day, it's still football. We love the game, and we need to go there and do it for this club, because it is at this time that the club needs us the most. And I think that just speaks for itself. And like we always say, I mean, yes, I think. Maybe, forgive me for coming back to the same point over and over again, but yes, there have been a lot of players in other clubs, other great clubs, other great players, you know, who have been extremely loyal, your Tottis, your Ryan Giggs, Steven Gerrard, and great players, but
they've never faced
extraordinary circumstances like this, and which is why I will always keep these five players at a separate mantle.
So this draws a certain line in terms of professionalism, because we talk about professionalism in sports, specifically in football, and we've touched upon this point many times in the podcast and otherwise too, that this just goes above and beyond what they should be doing. Nobody could have possibly stopped them from actually seeking out contracts at other clubs. They by themselves weren't banned.
Exactly, and it happened with quite a few players. In fact, quite a few players who became world class players thanks to playing for Juventus at that point of time. We have Fabio Cannavaro, who actually later in that year ended up being the World Player of the Year, and a certain superstar today at Manchester United who recently got injured. Yeah, that's right, Zlatan. But jokes aside, okay, fine, fair enough. They had that, and even the manager for that matter, Fabio Capello. I mean, yeah, okay, they made their choice. Yes, we were bitter at one point of time, but in a way, in hindsight, you actually look at it.
That was the rational thing to do, and that's why maybe it gave a greater contrast. But
probably, I mean, yes, that is one way of looking at it, but I would actually say that, you know, that actually made us appreciate the famous five that much more.
So, and trying to get into the head of somebody like a Buffon, or for that matter, Trezeguet and the rest. Think about it from this point of view too, that in the first game they actually dropped 2 points. It was an away draw.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and you can't really blame them for it. They were still in a state of shock at that point of time, and that entire season you had them visiting all these small, pokey little, you know, county grounds, like you could say, and it was a big deal for those clubs, you know, in fairness. I mean, you still have a team, a club of the caliber, of the history, and of the pedigree of Juventus visiting your stadium is still a big deal for the local crowd and for the local players.
And for a lot of these clubs, this is a club they have literally never played in their division. Because, for example, if they've been playing in Serie B for the last 110 years, Juventus have been in Serie A.
True. And coming back to a point about, you know, as a fan, how was I actually going to watch Juventus matches going forward at that point of time? That back then, if I remember correctly, I think it was 10 sports who actually they used to relay the Serie A, and every Monday or Tuesday there used to be a one-hour special wherein they used to give the highlights of all the games that were played in Serie A at that point of time. Coincidentally, the next season when they actually had to play in Serie B, they would finish that entire show within about 50 to 55 minutes, and the last 5 minutes they would actually play highlights of the Juventus game in Serie B.
So you can imagine the name. I mean, in terms of how huge a thing it is that this is a club that by its link of its name, its brand, its history, can bring something like an entire Serie B into the focus, which is not part of the football conversation, otherwise at all in India.
That's true. And I guess another challenge that they faced at that point of time was not just the fact that, you know, they're playing in Serie B. They ended up playing in Serie B with the points deficit which they had to make up to get promoted. And also at that point of time, even the referees were a bit nervous to actually give legitimate decisions in favor of Juventus. Because of what had just happened, and they were just basically always nervous to, you know, give something, even seem to be giving something which was apparently, you know, considered taboo at that point of time.
Let's put it this way, that a 50-50 call would probably go against Juventus rather than it being...
Absolutely. And I'm not just talking about 50-50 calls, even nailed on ones when actually going our way. Let's put it that way.
So they're overcompensating in terms of...
Absolutely.
That was the perception. We end with when the wheel turned full circle, and with 3 games to go in the season, Juventus make it back to Serie A.
La Juventus ha vinto il campionato di Serie B e oggi, da oggi, la Juventus è ancora più Juventus.
When you got the news, how was the feeling in terms of?
It was definitely a lot of relief, no doubts about it. It was a bit indifferent at that point of time because, yes, we had finally, you know, gotten back to Serie A, but now is when the real uncertainty kicked in because we didn't know what's next. Okay, when we go to Serie A, what is going to be our target? At least for the next 3 to 4 years, can we realistically say that off the bat we can actually challenge for trophies, or is it a question of, you know, building a club from the ground up? Because there's a huge, huge difference in quality and in terms of effort that needs to be put in from Serie B to Serie A to Serie A. So there was a lot of uncertainty, but yes, it was definitely a kind of relief that we were at least back to where we belong at that point of time. And I guess, you know, in many ways, the next 3 to 4 years was kind of bittersweet because the way the club was managed at that point of time was extremely amateurish. It really took somebody like an Andre Agnelli to come into the picture to completely, you know, eradicate all the mess that was created in those 4 years after promotion and really rebuild from the ground up. At the backroom staff level and even on the pitch, and today finally we see the results of it.
Football provides you many chances at redemption, just like the opera hits a high note after it's hit its lowest note. The drama turns around and resumes, just like it has for Juventus after that season that they spent in football purgatory. Soccer Sense is produced, written and scripted by me, Tariq, with help from Soccer Sense, Karan Naresh and Vishal Menon. Until next time, keep listening to Soccer Stories.